Good evening, everyone. Welcome. I'm really excited this evening to come and share and break open the Word of God. It's so awesome. I just want to share that basically what I'm going to be sharing on tonight was what Talita and Andre came and brought to the front. And so please hear how God just confirms what He's doing and what He's saying. And so just hold on to that vision that Andre had of the walls being attacked. And the watchman, and also the trust that Talita was praying for. It's very interesting. In fact, so much so that the word that Lisa shared tonight was the same word that was shared this morning as offering this morning in the morning service as well. How God comes and speaks and confirms His word when we listen and when we don't listen. This evening, I've got an interesting word to share, so I pray that you'll bear with me. And the word of the Lord's laid on my heart is the shadow of the Almighty. And as Andre was saying, watchmen return to the walls. And so I'd like to start with a bit of an interesting story. I had a very full weekend. I had two weddings yesterday. You know you're popular when you're invited to two weddings, or not popular. It depends how you look at it. And it was two vast, distinctly different weddings. The first wedding was of, as you know, one of our favorite couples in the church that we really love and enjoy. That got married yesterday morning. And it was such an incredible experience being with God's people. And the excitement that we experienced, and it was out in Franschhoek, in a little, an evout in the woods. And I don't know if you noticed, there was parts of the day where it was raining yesterday. And we were in that rain, and we were sort of watching every time the cameraman up in front put this little pink umbrella, pink purple umbrella over, and he's standing sort of facing the crowd with a couple in front of him. And you see this little umbrella go up. And then the umbrella go down, an umbrella go up, an umbrella go down. It's very, very entertaining. Especially someone like myself that has terrible ADD. And I found a few giggles in that moment with Pastor Sias, for those of you that know him, was sharing and speaking about marriage and God and His heart. And it's such an incredible experience of being in fellowship and being in community and sharing in such an important moment in people's lives. But even though it was raining, and even though it was outside, you always experience God's presence, every moment. And we've got a little joke in Shofar. Usually, when you're in the pulpit, they put you on the pastor's table. And the pastor's table is where they plonk all the pastors. And so it becomes a joke. It was so bad that a few years ago, I had three weddings in a row. It was in December, so you know they stack them up in December. And I sat every time next to Sias. By the third wedding, he married all three of them. By the third wedding, I had nothing left to say to him, and he had nothing left to say to me. But what's awesome about this wedding, they didn't put us on a pastor's table, thank the Lord. But we sat with people from the congregation, and just the joy and excitement of sharing and talking and experiencing where they're at and what God's doing. And we're all sorts and sizes on this table. And it was just such a great celebration. We unfortunately had to miss lunch, and we had to run to the second wedding. And the second wedding was someone that was outside the church. A couple of outside the church. They don't serve the Lord actively. I don't know if they know the Lord or not. But the vast difference in the two weddings. But the funny thing is, it's the same sort of, and I'm going to use a horrible word, it's the same formula. It's the same words, it's the same way of doing church, it's the same way of coming in, it's the same way of getting married, but yet you just don't experience God in it. And as typical as someone that's in the pulpit, you didn't take out my notes, taking notes of everything this guy's saying, and my wife's like, calm down, Matthew, just calm down, relax. People are watching you. And very small building that they got married in, smaller than this building, yeah. And the interesting thing was that I have a tendency to notice things. It's what I do. I always stare at everything. To my wife's dismay, I'm a starer. And I noticed that at the ceremony, there weren't that many people. So I thought it's quite a small wedding. But when we came to the reception, there were seats for 140 people. And I'm going like, wait a minute. And as the evening starts progressing, more and more people arrive for this wedding. So in other words, they weren't at the ceremony. But they came for the party. Hey? Different. And the funny thing is, you know, when I listen to the speeches of the first wedding, that starts with God. In the middle, they're talking about God. And in the end, all they're talking about is God. I'm thinking, but what about the poor couple? I'm sure they're nice too, somewhere in between. You know? But just the way they honor the people, that how they allow God to move in their lives and all these things. And the second wedding, God was never mentioned. But not only was he not mentioned, you could sense his presence wasn't there. Very interesting weekend that I had. We'll get back to that. We're living in a very interesting time, aren't we? If you have been reading the news, there's been a lot of bombs and explosions and murders that's been going on. And it's a very dark time. It's very interesting. Have you noticed spiritually, it usually gets dark everywhere? If you watch the media, it seems like it's not just now here or there, but there's a darkness everywhere. This week, in the week that we've been bombing, everyone's been bombing. It's a bombing week. You know that they've had their own bombings in Stellenbosch? The South African version of bombing. They've been lighting everything. Bring them by. You don't just bring, you just buy. And it's a joke, but it's not. Darkness manifesting more and more. Isn't that so? I'm going to trip over this 10 times. So I've been doing a sermon series. I didn't realize you could do that. When I started preaching, for me to do one sermon was absolutely max. Now I'm doing sermon series. I blame it on Tiens. Tiens forces me to read. Thank you for that, Tiens. I really do need it. And it's really helping. Amen. Yeah, that's not scary. Tiens is writing his doctorate. I'm not reading that. I'm not intelligent enough to read that. I won't be able to even understand the words. Any case. Thank you, Henry. And the sermon series I've been doing was what it was about. The Walled City was the first one. You can go download it. We spoke about Jesus. Can we go to that next slide? Jesus being the city of refuge. Do you guys remember that? That was real. And then we moved on to something called Elders in the Gate. We spoke about the two gates. That there's the gate of Daniel that he finds himself in, and the gate where Ezekiel finds himself in. The two gates. And there's two questions that are asked there, being, what gate do you find yourself at? And what is the role you need to do at that gate? What has God given you hands? What is, in a sense, what are the fish and the loaves that he's given you to multiply? Where has he put you in a place of authority or a place of favor to exercise that favor? And what does it look like and how does it work? Just to get everyone on the same page. So tonight we're going to be prophetically looking at Psalm 91. And so I ask that you go home, if you feel led by the Spirit, and go read through Psalm 91. And ask the Lord to show you Psalm 91. Let the Lord open Psalm 91 up to you. And how you do that is you read it verse for verse. And you ask the Lord questions on every verse. Lord, how is that applicable to my life? Lord, what are you saying to me in the season. See, there's two words. There's the Logos word and there's the Rhema word. And so this evening I'll be opening up the Rhema word, which is the living word for us, which I believe that God's wanting to share with us as a congregation in helping us to return to the place of being on the walls. Let's start. Those who live in the shelter of the Most High will find rest in the shadow of the Almighty. This I declare about the Lord. He alone is my refuge. Remember we said he's the city of refuge. My place of safety. He is my God. And I delete this beautiful word. Trust him. For he will rescue you from every trap and protect you from every deadly disease. He will cover you with his feathers. He will shelter you with his wings. His faithfulness, promises, his faithful promises are your armor and your protection. Let's stop there for now. Did you know that God has wings? Did you know God has feathers? If you're going to take it literally. Scripture says that the Holy Spirit came upon Jesus and he looked like a dove. See, sometimes when we look upon God and we think about how the protection of the Lord looks, we see this shield and we see this city, it's hard things, things that protects. But there's another side of God that protects. Wings. It speaks about safety, about warmth, about love. We read in, can we go to the next slide, please? We read in Luke. Jerusalem, Christ speaking. You who kill the prophets and stone those sent to you, how often I have longed to gather your children together as a hen gathers her chicks under her wings. And you are not willing. Christ saying that he, as that protection that he has for us, that refuge, that city of refuge that he calls us into those gates, into that city. It's safe, it's warm. You see, and when we think of wings, we think of movement. As I said, we think of the Holy Spirit. We think of Christ and what he's done for us on the cross. That guiding that he gives us. Carrying on with Psalm 91. There's a condition for that first part. The condition of the city of refuge. If you make the Lord your refuge, if you make the Most High your shelter, no evil will conquer you. No plague will come near your home. See, many of us are asking often, God, why? Why do I have plagues in my home? Why is the evil one conquering me? If you make the Lord your refuge. If you make the Most High your shelter. For he will order his angels to protect you wherever you go. They will hold you up with their hands so you won't even hurt your foot on a stone. You will trample upon lions and cobras. We all know the scripture and we love the scripture. You will crush fierce lions and serpents under your feet. You see, God calls us into the city of refuge. And when you're in that city of the refuge, you have that authority with those wings around you. You can trample on those scorpions. You can trample on those lions. See, most of us know the scripture, or sort of know the scripture. So every time we come up against the enemy, we think, I got this. I can do this. And we go up, and we call ourselves David. We grab our little stones, and we've got the faith for it. And we step up against Goliath. But the problem is that so often we do this outside of the city of refuge, outside of the Lord's wall. In our own way. We're sitting yesterday at the first wedding. I've got this amazing couple that we dearly love and walk a road with in this church. And I'm telling him how stressed I am. I'm telling him, so stressed at work at the moment. So much things I've got to finish before the end of the year. I'm just grinding. I'm going for it. And he looks at me with this bewildered look. And he says to me, okay. I said, yeah, I'm stressed. He says, do you know stress can only come if you've got pride? So meek, so mild, so nice, like only he can. It's strange when God rebukes us, how we receive rebuke. We see a rebuke as a bad thing. Can I tell you that I was edified? I was lightened? I said, praise Jesus. It's so simple. I know this. This is 101 basics. I could yesterday go to the Lord and say, Lord, I'm sorry for being in the flesh. I'm sorry for carrying your burdens. I'm sorry for making it personal. I'm sorry. I repent. It's not my burden. My burden is the one that's light. The yoke that's easy. And something lifted. Because a brother that cares enough for me, in a moment, could come and bring me truth. And just set me free. I didn't feel rebuked. I didn't feel slogged. I didn't feel like I'm the worst sinner on the face of the planet. I felt revived. I felt relieved. It's so awesome when someone stands in that gap as a watchman for you and he sees the enemy taking you out. Let's move on to the next verse, please. For the Lord says, I will rescue those who love me. I will protect those who trust, once again trust, in my name, when they, being these people, that do these two things. When they call on me, I will answer. I will be with them in trouble. I will rescue and honor them. I will reward them with a long life and then give them my salvation. You see, this is very important. And I'll get back to that freedom that God gave me. There's two really important things here. If I was to ask you a question, if you and I were sitting in a restaurant now, a coffee shop, and it was just the two of us, and I had to ask you these two questions. My first question would be, do you love the Lord? And everyone will tell me yes. Everyone here, I really believe, will say, yes, I love the Lord. I'm going to ask you the second question. I say, do you trust the Lord? Most of us here will probably go, I definitely trust the Lord, yeah. I'm not sure about yeah. There's a bit of a maybe in certain areas of our life. Isn't that so? Five honest people, thank you for the five, Lord. See, because of experiences and because of the way we've gone through life and what we seek and what we desire, so often we don't get what we want. The first word that was brought this evening. We want Christ to come and give. Share His glory with us. Christ came, the first Christ who came to suffer. We don't like that part of Christ. Can we move on to the next scripture? If you say you love the Lord, this is what it means. John 14, Christ speaking, if you love me, obey my commandments. And further, verse 23, Jesus replied, all who love me will do what I say. My Father will love them, and we will come and make our homes with each of them. Anyone who doesn't love me will not obey me. And remember my words are not my own. What I'm telling you is from the Father who sent me. See, there's a place where Christ calls us to a point of obedience. And I'm going to ask you this evening, if you love the Lord, you will obey Him. Now, a lot of us go, okay, that's a bit hectic. Because I don't always obey Christ.
And I can almost tell you there's a condemnation that really wants to just hit you right there in the head and go boom. Okay? Now I need to go back to little my friend, the couple, the awesome people. They came and spoke truth over me, and I just said yes, amen. You see, all you need to do is just say, Lord, I really want to love you. My definition of love is very emotional. I have emotional love towards you, Lord. And I just want to be honest about that. I really just want to love you like that. You say that if you tell me that this is a fruit thing, this is just basically a fruit thing. So I want to have that fruit, Lord. Then when you ask me to do something, I'm going to do it. It's so interesting, we gave marriage prep, Matthew and myself, and we asked us to give the session on love and respect. And it goes all well, and it's an awesome session, and it's really good. Until Matthew explains about the word submit. You must watch the woman when the word submit comes up. There's a death stare. Why is that so? It's so because it's such a bad experience for us. When we see submit, we see slavery. When we see submit, we see that my boss is about to kick me in the teeth because I'm 5 minutes late. Isn't that so? Isn't that how we see submit? But yet, we need to submit to Christ, and as was mentioned earlier, as co-heirs. I'm a co-heir with Christ. Isn't it awesome? So I can submit under him. Because I know his plans are perfect. His ways are perfect. He's only got Ratanga Junction for me. All right? He's only got that cobra. You know, that's my happy place. The more I'm doing cobra, the more happier I am. Okay? And for some of us, we go like, we get nauseous on the cobra. But if you can experience the joy that the Lord gives you in that place of allowing him to lead you, the joy and the freedom. I received a text just before church this evening of a very good friend of mine from Swampside West that just asked him to join staff. And the Lord woke his wife up earlier this week, and she said, and the Lord said to her that you need to pray for your colleague. And what happened to her colleague was his hand went numb. His whole arm actually went numb. And what is happening is there was a pinching of the 7th and 6th vertebra, something else. Yeah, sorry. Thanks, Jess. There. Not there. There. 6th and 7th lost. Any case. So the vertebra was pinching. And he was in hospital, and they'd done a bunch of tests, and they had to operate. And she woke up 4 o'clock in the morning, and the Lord said, I need you to pray for this man. And she prayed, and she prayed, and she prayed. And basically, she was praying for one thing by the looks of, as the story carries on. It seems that she was just praying for boldness to go and pray for him. And so he was at home, and they were waiting for operation dates. And this is a very serious operation. If one of these operations go wrong, you can be paralyzed. And she went and she went and prayed. Now, I must tell you what she does for a living, first of all, I guess. Really important what she does. She works for a pharmaceutical company. She sells drugs for a living. Medical drugs. She went and she said to the guy, listen, can I pray for you? And the guy said, okay, here's the back end of the story. To the back end of the story. This guy, 3 years ago, lost his father and has been very angry with God because of it. So just for this guy to say yes to receive the prayer is already a miracle. And he says yes, he's willing. And she's busy praying for him. And the 4th or the 5th time, isn't it interesting that it's normally not the first time? Sometimes you really got to dig into that place of faith. The 4th or 5th time that she's praying for him, immediately something snapped in his neck. Popped back in. Totally healed. The guy says, I experienced a warm feeling in his neck. As the Lord is healing and came and he's perfectly fine, walking around 100%. And now he says he wants to come back to God. God's goodness when we obey. See, the Lord doesn't want you to obey to be funny or to be nasty or to be narcissistic or to beat you with a stick. It's because your heart is for someone else, for something else. And if you just obey, you'll be able to see Him move in miraculous ways if we put out our faith. Shall we move to the next scripture? Proverbs. There's a path before each person that seems right, but it ends in death. Carrying on further in Proverbs. People may be right in their own eyes, but their Lord examines their heart. And still in Proverbs, next one. In a lawsuit, the first to speak seems right until someone else comes forward and cross-examines. And the last one. And this is the hard one. Fools think their own way is right, but the wise listen to others. One of the intercessors shared a vision with me, and I believe there's a dual meaning to the vision. And I asked him if I could share it with you. He said, it's all right. So this is the vision that he had. He had a vision in church a few weeks ago where it's almost like one of these wooden doors, these wooden sort of pillar doors. And basically, as you look in, it's like looking into the church. There's this mist. And then there's a throne room of God further back, but there's this mist. And later on, there's these people in this mist, and they're busy throwing books through this door. Now, the one awesome thing about this vision is that do away, because there's a warning in it too. But the Lord says you must throw away the things of the world that keep us out of the presence of God. You must throw it out. But the other side of the coin, I've been really praying about this vision. The other side of the coin is this. Sometimes we're in a mist. And God's speaking that we're not getting 100% correct. And what we do is we take the books of wisdom, the wisdom that God's given us, and we throw it out the door. Because we think we know better. God has called us, there's an anointing on our congregation and also the movement, to be watchmen. So you'll often hear about watchmen, and something that I'm just revisiting this year that I want to really go more into next year. But God's called us to be watchmen. And I know I mentioned this in a few sermons ago, but I really want to get into this a little deeper. If you're an accountant, or you're a financial advisor, or you understand finance, the watchman that God's called you to be is for that person that the Lord leads you to that just has the ability to spend money like there's no tomorrow. And the Lord will read it on your heart just to go and speak to that person and say, listen, my friend, you need to be a steward of what God's given you. You can't keep spending all your money and not saving. You can't keep spending and not blessing. You see, if we love people, if we are really called to protect people, if we really want to build a community, then we need to realize that we need to walk together. We need to realize that we can't do it by ourselves. You don't know everything. God made you that way. You don't have to know everything. Get married. Your wife knows everything. The Lord has put people in our lives for a reason. Having a conversation a while back, and it dawned on me, at this revelational moment. You know why men, guys, listen up. You know why we don't have breakthrough in pornography, in the church. Ladies, same problem. Do you guys know why? Here's a shocker. See, the bride of Jesus Christ is plagued with pornography, something we don't talk about. Plagued. We probably won't see revival until we get breakthrough in this area. This is a great bride. See, because it's that secret sin that eats us up. You know what the Lord does to us sometimes? Because there's not a single man that goes, I want pornography, or I want to fall for lust, or every time a woman walks past me, I want to look at her in an ungodly way. That is no man's desire that's sitting in any congregation. I'm telling you that now. Here's the secret. God wants to deliver us together. He wants us to walk together. To take things on together. To stand together. So we don't have shame that always ministers to us. I'm learning something in the season that I'm in. When I was in Stellenbosch, I was quite a, pardon the word, pokkel. I was a small big boy, or a big small boy, depends how you look at it. I'm big now, I was massive. And it was really bothering me. Thanks, Ryan. What's that all about? Like my brother's like, no, it was. It really was. God, I love family. And in any case, so God brought the conviction of my life, and we had a long, God and I had a long conversation, and then I started a road, and I started walking, and I lost a lot of weight, and exercised like you can't imagine, like really a lot, ate like much healthier than I eat now, and so I was living a very healthy lifestyle, and the Lord allowed me to live a healthy lifestyle in Stellenbosch. But then I got married, and then I started working for the church, and then I moved to Cape Town. And there's always a knock-on effect. You know, your time becomes less, your focus becomes less. All you want to do is hang with your wife all the time and eat pizza all day, watching movies together. You know, that typical married kind of mentality. And unlike me, my wife can eat everything and anything, and it's like it's just magic, it's just gone. She burns it up. She's like Superwoman. She looks at the food and like lays eyes and it just burns up. I don't know. You know, I don't have that blessing. And for the last 2.5 years, I've been at the gym in Wembley. And the amazing thing about the gym at Wembley is they never phone you and ask Mr. Jepto, where are you? We noticed you haven't been visiting for a long time. They just thank you for the money and it's all good with us. You know, great accountability. And it's so much like the church, isn't it? You can do whatever you want and no one's going to check up with you. And as long as you're tithing, it's fine with us, you know. Just tithe and we're not really happy. Just a joke, it's not at all like that, yeah? You all know it's not. But often church is like that. Often we as friends are like that. I'd rather keep the friendship, you know. I don't want to have a little bit of conflict here. You know, it really sucks that you get drunk every weekend. It sucks. You know, God is good. Don't worry, you'll get over it. That's how we do so much accountability. And my wife and I was having a conversation about a month ago. She sat me down and she said, you are miserable about your physical exercise. You're miserable. And I said, I am. Told you, wives know everything. And so I did something very stupid. I listened to Murray. And somehow, I decided to go do something called CrossFit. You might have heard of it. If you haven't, basically you give people a lot of money to hurt you. And they make sure you hurt. And if you're not hurting, they phone you to say, come and hurt. And I'm learning so much. I've only been a few weeks now at CrossFit. But I'm learning so much about life. About what real accountability is. About what it really means to walk in community. You sort of sum up the guys when you walk in. And you go like, that guy, I think I can keep up to him. That guy, I don't know what it is. You must stand on the other side of the gym. You know, with the big weights off. Don't sum up the woman there because they'll scare you. I still have to meet a lady in that gym that picks up as little as I do. It's terribly intimidating in the beginning. But what I love about the guys is how they encourage you through it. You're after a while going like, I don't think you understand, dude, I'm dead. And he like looks at you like you're silly. Stand up. Come on, you got this. And it's amazing how suddenly you got this. It's like the Holy Spirit that says, you can do this. That accountability, that voice that says, you can do this. This is nothing. We got this. We're with you. We're suffering together. Community. The one guy took me under his wing immediately, started explaining, don't worry about that. You're not going to get that now. It took me 6 months to get that. And I'm like, thank you, Jesus. He in fact said one thing took him 3 years to get. So I was like, thank you, Jesus. It's fine. You're going to get this. Let's walk together. Stand together. The Lord puts us in each other's lives so we can walk there together. I've got a clip that I'm going to show now. And I'm going to ask that you watch it with unjudging eyes. Because I know there's a lot of stuff that's been happening in the media and there's a lot of bombs that's been going off. And you've been seeing a lot of nasty photos. And so I just ask that you allow the Lord to just speak to you. He'll do whatever it takes to take you out. There's a lot of scriptures I can share about watchmen. I'm going to ask that you go home. Go Google and read what God says about watchmen. But ultimately, if we want to be a prophetic voice, we want to speak truth. There's times and situations that we're going to be facing hard moments with people that we love. See, what is happening in the back end is based on a true story. If you've got the stomach and a movie like that, most of us men, go watch it. Ladies, allow the men to go watch it. Where there's the truths are busy marching forward. God's kingdom advancing. God's children walking forward. And the enemy knows if he sends a man all wrapped up with an AK-47, he'll be taken out, no problem. But you see, there's delicacies. And minister to us. That we're susceptible to. Where we are blind, as Proverbs speaks. Where we are a fool. And if you don't have that friend that can cover you, if you don't have that buddy that can say, listen, but you're in sin now. You're stressing because you're playing the role of God. You are acting as God in your own life. That's what pride is. The enemy will take you out. When you step out of that place of the city of refuge, out of God's protection, the enemy is aimed to take you out. So many people falling out of church. I had the best news yesterday at a wedding. At this wedding, a friend of mine phoned me from Johannesburg. A really good friend of mine, walked a long road with him. And I was noticing some things in his life were going a bit pear-shaped. I could see by things he was posting on Facebook and just things he was saying. I started picking up, I started discerning, I started praying. And I discerned that there was a real anger towards God. Solid man. He started backsliding, started getting offended, fell into a promiscuous lifestyle, started sleeping around. Totally fell away from God. To the point of almost hating God. It was such an awesome phone call that he can tell me, I'm back. God's people were just so amazing. We were going to pass up in Johannesburg, Pastor Henny. And Pastor Henny came and walked next to this guy and said, I love you, and we're going to walk with you, and we're going to help you through this. Let's just walk. We're not going to condemn you. We're not going to shame you. We're just going to walk. And it's so awesome to see this guy coming back to his restoration and what God's sharing with him. And the funny thing is that while he was living this promiscuous life, he was still in a Bible school, a cell group, a small group. He was still being accountable about certain stuff. He didn't run away from the church. He was always there, but hidden. Not being honest, not being open, not being true. But you can only hide for so long. God allowed him to carry on and carry on. Can I tell you something? That bomb got very close to him. Out of his own mouth. Got very close. He started justifying his lifestyle. He started justifying his thinking. But there was a watchman in the tower. There was a watchman that said, I will not allow you to be taken out. Because I love you. God has put you in my life. Community. We had a whole series about that. Two things. Do you trust God? Do you love God? And it's not a whip. It's a question. You've got to decide what wedding you're sitting at. Are you sitting at the God wedding? Where it's awesome, people talking about God, His goodness, His faithfulness, or you're sitting at the other wedding. I'd bite my lip a lot. Where all the people are talking about is the fear of living in this country. And I go and sit, and the first thing that goes, I'm like really upset. You know? Then I start having empathy or sympathy or whatever. And then I start thinking, am I afraid? And I start thinking, and I try and find fear in my life, and don't find any. Don't find anything. They talk about how everyone's going to New Zealand. Apparently it's one of the countries you can now go to still. England doesn't want us. The Queen said no. Now it's New Zealand. I don't know if anyone's gone as far as New Zealand. It's on the other side of the earth. It's going to take you 14 days to get there. Seriously, the flying there is crazy. It is far. And they're telling me how happy their friends are in New Zealand. Convincing themselves. how great New Zealand is. And all I'm going is like, I can't imagine living in New Zealand. My uncle's from New Zealand. And I love my uncle. I ain't going to know New Zealand. This is my home here. Cape Town is my home. I've got a heart for Cape Town. I love Cape Town. I love the unchurched part of Cape Town. God's given me a heart for Cape Town, that's why I'm here. Why are we here? Do you have a heart for the people in this congregation, in this room? If no, take it to God. It's lacquer. You don't have a heart for the people in the streets? Go to God. It's lacquer. The Lord is calling us to a certain place where we need to return to the walls to protect the people that God is allowing to come into the city of refuge. My greatest fear for us, concern, is that people aren't going to make it through those doors. That's my greatest fear. That they're going to be taken out before they reach that door. If you're on the wall, people will make it to the gate. We've been praying as staff. We've been working as staff. We've been arguing as staff. We've been rethinking as staff. We've been rereading as staff. We've been really seeking God in this place. We believe God's giving us more and more strategy for 2016 and 2017. That's going to allow us to be more effective on the walls, to allow more people in. And you'll be hearing about this more in January next year. And as we go along. I want to say, come partner with us with God showing us. And let's do what God's called us to do. Let's walk together. Let's be honest with one another. Let's be real. And I'm also going to say this. It is hard. Can we all stand? Can I call the band up to the front so long? Can we just keep listening? It is hard to trust the people around you. I know that. I know that people in the church have let you down. I know that you shared a secret that someone has used as ammo against you. I know that people have gossiped and it's come out. And I want to say I'm really sorry about that. That is not God's heart. That is not the Lord's heart. The Lord is not a Lord of gossip. Please understand that. What I am saying is, let's allow the Lord to get us all there together. Let's just take that first step. I'm not saying go and grab some random guy in the church and tell him your deepest, darkest, everything. What I'm saying is, let's get there together. Let's allow the Holy Spirit to come and bring us that healing, bring us that deliverance. And bring us to a place where we can be safe. Let's say 2016 and allow the Lord to come and take us to a place where this is the safest space on earth. Though 1,000 will fall to my left, 10,000 to my right, that we will not be harmed. Let us seek that place. Let's ask God that we can come into His hiding place, into the shadow of the Almighty, where it's His wings around us, and where we walk together. I want to ask if we can, we're going to worship. And as the Lord leads you, if you need prayer in these areas, come let's pray together. If you want to dance before the Lord, come dance before the Lord. If you want to come kneel before the Lord, come kneel before the Lord. You're not coming to man tonight.
you're coming to the Lord. If you need to do that where you are there, that's fine. Just come to the Lord. Be real. Jesus, I want to love you. I love you in certain areas, but I don't love you in this area. I don't love you in that area. Come and help me. Come and deliver me. And if you have someone in your life, just share that with your friends. Go tell them, struggling in this area, but will you walk with me? Let's share the load. Let's help one another through. Let's be each other's CrossFit buddy that says, you can do this, but you can do this. No, you are flat on the floor and you feel you can't do nothing. You've got mates around you that says, we can do this. We're doing this together. It's not just you. We're doing this together. Father, Lord, we come before you, Lord, and we declare in the name of Jesus in the spirit realm that we are called to be watchmen. We declare that we are on that wall. And we call in the spirit realm that every person return to the wall in Jesus' name. Each one with his loaves and his fishes will provide the protection that God has given him. We take up our birthright in the name of Jesus. We declare, Lord, that we will stand. We will run in that group. We will not outrun the group. We will not fall behind. Holy Spirit, we thank you that you are our comforter. And we say, Lord, that we receive this evening the spirit of exhortation. We receive the spirit of encouragement to encourage those around us. We will not flog one another. We will not mock one another. But we will protect one another in Jesus' name. We declare, Lord, that in this city, we will be a prophetic voice. In this city, we will protect those that you put under us, Lord, and around us, Lord. We will bring truth, Lord, to the saved, those in the church, those part of the bride, and those outside the bride. We will be the light in darkness. If we have to go into those tunnels, Lord, we will go in bearing the light of Jesus Christ as the spirit of truth to bring people out of darkness. We declare, Lord, as the world gets darker, Lord, our light shines more, Lord. We ask for boldness, Lord, to speak to the people around us. Holy Spirit, that you'll wake us up at night. You'll give us word of knowledge, words of encouragement, words of wisdom, to speak over people's lives, to introduce people and reintroduce people to Jesus Christ, to Jesus Christ. That is our shelter. And not the shelter that is only of a shield or of a wall, but the warmth and nurturing of a hen. Holy Spirit, we pray that in this next season, as we start gearing down towards festive season, as we start gearing down towards holiday, and we want to start shutting off, we thank you, Holy Spirit, that you will not be shut off, that you will come and meet us where we are about to find rest. Lord, even like Ross was preaching a few weeks ago, the physical rest. There's a place of physical rest that we will meet you there, Lord, that you have an appointment for each one of us. And I declare in the season that every one of us will find that rest that Unnery and Ross was preaching about. And that you'll meet us in that place, Lord, we will have conversations. And that you'll give us a heart, Lord, to protect the people you've put around us. Holy Spirit, we just say that we really want to see you move amongst us. Not for ourselves, not for our selfishness. But that people may meet Jesus. Thank you that you are our healer and that you are our healer today. Thank you that you are our deliverer, you are our deliverer today. Just since there's many of us here, it's a dual vision again. You feel like a boxing bag
And you feel like literally the devil is like Mike Tyson or one of these massive boxers, and he's just nailing you in the ribs and he's just smacking you around. And the dual vision is that it's supposed to be the other way around. If that's you this evening, if you feel like a boxing bag to life, like life is really just getting you under. And this evening, we're going to pray for you, and we're going to pray a simple prayer. We're going to pray that you are the boxer. We're not going to focus on what the devil does anymore. We're too focused on what the devil does. We need to focus on what God tells us and what God shows us. God shows us that we're the boxer, and that the enemy is the punching bag. In this next while, in next year, we're going to start teaching you to take more authority. We're going to even get more practical than we did this year. We're going to do it like CrossFit. Every time you pick up a bar, we're going to look and we're going to help you and say, no, that's not how you pick up the bar, you're going to hurt your back. This is how you pick up the bar. No, this is not how you do this stretch. This is how you do it. We're going to walk in that accountability until we get to the place where God's called us to be, that we can run together. You see, running is a very interesting thing. It's the same as cycling. You need to start gauging the people around you so you can run together. So there's places where you need to know, okay, I need to slow down now. And there's places you need to know, I need to step it up now. There's places that I need to encourage now. We did a Star Trek where we cycled 7 times around the country, something that God prophetically told us to do. And so we got a bunch of normal people like us. And they went and did something supernatural, and they just cycled around the country a few times. Joffa, did you all that? Okay. How others, were you part of that? You cycled it. How others in the back was one of the mean machines. And what's interesting was always dealing with the guys at that set. The stronger guys would always say their job was to help the guys along. That's their thing. You're talking about over 100 kilometers every day for 3 weeks or whatever it was. In fact, it was more like 150. Ask how others for the details. But what's interesting is that even the strong guys at days would have weak, but they have no energy, nothing. And it's those that would be plodding along that would say, today I've got this. Come, you can do this. You can do this. That push them up those hills. We're going back to that place. So we've got to allow the Lord to come and strip us of our pride and our arrogance and our selfishness. And it's simple. You just give it to the Lord and say, I don't want it. You don't have to know everything. You don't have to do it alone. It's cool. It's awesome. You're not alone. You're not alone at work. You might feel like you're the only person there, but you're not alone. You might feel like you're the only person in this church and no one's ever noticed you. You're not alone. We're going to get there together. And so, Lord, we pray this evening that we come and put up our hands and we ask for the spirit of unity so that we may be delivered. Lord, we pray that you'll change our prayers from selfish prayers, from myself, 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 myself. Lord, a Santa Claus wish list of things we want. And we pray and we'll just see the people around us and we'll stop praying for their needs. I pray that you'll open our eyes, Holy Spirit, to see the people that are trying to fall pregnant and all they want is a little baby. And we will take that burden with them. We will carry it. We will pray it through. We will intercede through it. We pray for those, Lord, that desperately want to find their life partner. That they don't have to pray for themselves all the time. That we will pray for them in Jesus' name. We will pray for those, Lord, that need breakthrough at work. We will pray for those that need breakthrough for healing. But we don't have to pray for ourselves, Lord, because no one else is praying for us. We'll take the burden together. That we'll see that the sins of our brothers and our weaknesses of our brothers and our sisters, where we are strong, we can stand for them. We can stand in the gap as watchmen on the walls. And Lord, I pray this evening that by your Spirit that you'll start laying people, be it in ourselves, be it in work, be it in church, and then we'll just pray for them.
help us, Lord, even if it's just for 5 minutes, just to pray for them, just to bless them, even if we don't know what to pray. We pray, Lord, it will not be prayers of condemnation. It will not be prayers of judgment. And it will not be out of a critical place. To be prayers of love. Prayers of concern. Prayers that will raise people from the dead. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. We need to do one more song for those who'd like to still worship the Lord a bit. It's coffee for those that need coffee. Thank you very much, guys. Have a great week. And we'll be seeing you guys next week.